With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey guys, just before we head into the podcast, just a reminder, if you're in Brisbane, the podcast is coming up to you on March 16 at Hey Ya Bar, so that's Saturday, March 16, 3 p.m. Tickets are at joshearl.com.au/gigs. Go there and get all the tickets. There's only a few left, so get in quick. Also, Melbourne starts very soon. March 28 is the Comedy Festival kicks off with my show Josh Earl Talks every night, apart from Mondays at the Victoria Hotel, plus the podcast on the Sundays at 3 p.m. at the European Beer Cafe. And if you aren't in any of those places but want to help out the podcast, you can become a Patreon subscriber. That's right, patreon.com/dykwia. You'll get a free bonus episode every month, plus new writing every single Friday. So without any further ado, enjoy this episode. It's very, very funny. Hello and welcome to Don't You Know Who I Am, the podcast that asks who knows whom, who knows what, because who knows why. My name is Josh Earl, and this week on the internet I discovered I share my name with a man whose LinkedIn profile says Class A CDL 40 hour Hazwhopper. Do you know what a Hazwhopper is?
No.
I had to look it up. Hazwhopper stands for Hazardous Waste Operations and Emergency Response. So it should actually be Hazwoa, not Hazwhopper.
Yeah, but is he Aussie?
No, he's from America.
All right then.
So there you go. Anyway.
What if he was Aussie?
Yeah, well, then it'd make a bit of sense, you know. You could put a little Aussie spin on it. Yeah,
it's a classic absolutely. Aussie slang. Just put a P
has
in there.
Just put a little whopper.
The Hazwhoppers are better.
If this is your first time to the podcast, what I do is I get four very funny people and I quiz them all about their lives. So let's meet them now. Our first guest is a comedian and a writer who last time he was on the show, he gave me my favourite moment of the podcast of 2018 when talking about his Batman tattoo.
Yeah.
Can you please welcome from Two in the Think Tank and Shusha Podcasts, can you please welcome Alistair Trombley-Birchall?
Hello. Hello, everybody. There's a Batman and Robin tattoo, potentially.
Yes. It was a lie, though. I didn't. Angus is looking very, like, does Al have a...
Yeah, I was excited to see it, but...
Yeah, it was just something I was considering. I never got around to doing it.
Shame.
Also joining us is a man who, if you thought having two podcasts was a lot of podcasts, Al, this next guy has six. Can you please welcome from Plumbing the Death Star, Shut Up a Second, D&D is for Nerds, Oh No a Ghost, Jackson Bailey Spooks America, Unprompted and Unwanted, it is Jackson Bailey, yay!
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Are they all operational still?
I think Oh No a Ghost is defunct, yeah. But the rest are still going. And Oh No a Ghost lives on in Jackson Bailey Spooks America, so you're basically fine.
Great. Our next guest is a comedian and a writer who shares his name with a manager of a Perth Target.
Ooh.
And an insolvency administrator in Essex. Can you please welcome Jack Drews? Yeah.
Thank you.
Did you know about the Perth Target manager?
No, I had no idea. I was going to say doppelganger, but that's not it. That's not it at all.
Yeah, I think, is it namesake? I'm not sure if it's namesake.
Yeah, namesake, okay. But there was a book written. The book is called Beijing Craps, and the main character is called Jack Drews, and he gets killed in it at the end. Spoiler alert.
I thought that was the only
Jack Drews I knew about.
Do you know anything about that book?
Yeah. He's addicted to gambling, and his son kills him with a shotgun at the end.
Is this an autobiography you've written?
Yeah, it's one of those preemptive autobiographies about what I hope happens.
Wait, you're going to kill your son?
No, my son's going to kill me. All right.
I'm sorry.
And you're going to groom him to do it from the crib.
And has it got like one of those double meanings with like Beijing craps? Like you're there sort of playing, you know, sort of dice, but then you also shit yourself.
When your son shoots you with a shotgun.
Yeah, well, I think, do you shit yourself when you killed with a shotgun from your son?
I think depends. You do shoot yourself when you die.
Yeah, that's how Elvis died. His son came into the bathroom.
Yeah,
that'll be like the epilogue. I'll do the get the shot, and then at the end, I'll be like, and then I shit myself. Like, Craps, the game.
And finally, is a comedian who shares his name with a Wollongong landscaper and a Canadian barista. Can you please welcome back to the podcast, fan favourite, it's Angus Gordon. Yeah.
Yoo-hoo!
Fan favourite.
Thank you. It's a great title. I am a fan favourite.
Yeah.
When self-appointed.
When I asked Angus to do this, he said yes, as long as you introduce me as fan favourite.
So I'm hoping if I say it enough, it'll catch on.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's working on me. I was like, oh, I wonder which fan.
You actually, when you were on the first time, I had someone from Brisbane say, oh, finally you got Angus on. I was really happy to hear him on the podcast.
I know who that is.
Okay. Well, he'd be listening now, I'm sure. Yeah.
Shout out. Please keep messaging Josh. That's how I get booked.
Okay, our first game tonight is called Social Me Media, where I read out status updates by the four of you. You have to buzz in and tell me who you think wrote the tweet or Facebook status. If you get correctly, you get a point. If you're incorrect, the person who actually wrote it, they get the point. So you can't buzz in for your own. Your names are your buzzers. First one is this one. Cold case podcasts are good because it's hard to get podcast listeners, so at least the person who committed the murder will probably listen.
Alistair.
Yes, Alistair.
Is that Jack Drews?
You are correct. Just point there for Al, yes. Yeah.
I love your, like, your success grunt then. That was great.
Yeah!
That's the kind of energy you need.
I'm just trying to bring...
It's great. Yeah. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
You've got six podcasts, Jackson. Is one of them a cold case one? Do you do any true crime?
Well,
not
so
even the ghost ones?
Jackson Bailey Spooks America is like a terrible version of it. Because it's just, I'm like, oh, I know about this mystery, so I kind of half remember it. And then people ask me questions, and I'm like, oh, gosh, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then people message in, and like, you were wrong about all these things. And I'm like, I never claimed to be right. So it's like a terrible version of
is
that.
Is the person claiming that you're wrong always the murderer? Being like, actually, this is how I did it.
Yeah. You're frustrating me. Getting it wrong.
I really want like a non-cold case podcast to start solving a murder. It's like, who got you? Mark Maron. It was weird. Like, I don't know.
That's what he's so bitter about. Yeah. Like he saw a murder in 1988.
Yeah. Talking to the murderer. So who are you guys? Who are your guys? Okay, question two. Fine, I'll just suck all the incels off if it will make them shut up for just a minute.
Alistair.
Yes, Alistair.
Is that Jackson?
You are correct. Yes, another point there for Alistair.
I had a feeling that anything that has like a like butt fucking or sort of...
My tweets tend to follow such a pattern where it's either about Harry Potter or dirty fucking or a combination of the two.
Yeah.
Well, that's a tip for you too. Yeah, you probably don't know Jackson as well.
Giving you help here.
So I did research on an old episode.
Oh. Okay, question three. Don't kill baby Hitler. Go back to right when he was conceived and just jerk off his dad.
Jack?
Yes, Jack.
Jackson again?
No, that was ATV.
I really planted that one right there.
Yeah. That was the strategy.
It was like I was looking over Josh Earl's shoulder.
Was this after... Who was it? Was it Ben Shapiro who kind of talked about killing Hitler? Is that what he...
I think he did.
Because he's one of those guys like the Jordan Peterson, Gavin McInnes.
Yeah, but he's kind of... He's more right-wing. I think he's only known for being alt-right, but... That was an old thing that I'd written, and I brought it back when it was popular. All right,
was in Vogue.
Question four: thinking of becoming the first man to walk on the moon without a bunch of nerds helping me.
Alistair.
Yes, Alistair.
Angus.
No, that was Jack Drews there. Point for Jack. Yep.
I think it's an attainable goal.
like just do it with all jocks.
Yeah. I think I'll just, you know, just wing it. It'll be fine. I'll just figure it out.
How hard could it be?
They did it in the 60s. Yeah. You know, they didn't have, like, phones and shit.
Get in a rocket, jump around, pick up a rock, go home.
Just get up there, muck around, do a speech.
Yeah. Back.
The comedian Jared Carmichael believes that it was all fake because he says it only happened in Nixon's administration.
What?
He thinks everything that happened in Nixon's administration was fake.
He just thinks America was in a low place and they needed something to bring them all together. So let's just fake the moon landing.
Yeah.
I feel like it's...
Nixon actually says that on the Watergate tapes. Yeah. He's just going, and they fucking went for it. Yeah.
Even if they did fake it, I even think that's cool now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I'm equally impressed by that.
If they fake it, it's more impressive that many people can keep a secret for over 50 years.
Yeah. What's weird, do people who believe we didn't go to the moon believe we have since? Or are they like, we've never been? Because if we have since, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, we did it, you know?
But there's, like, only 20 people who have been to the moon.
Well, there's not much up there. It's not really worth it, is it?
Because Norm Macdonald does the bit that we only know two of their names. Yeah.
Do we all think of them, just that?
Yeah, I just know the first two. I don't even know the guy who didn't even get out of the...
I think all I could think of was Buzz Aldrin.
The ship.
And I only know Buzz Aldrin because he punched that kid in the face who said no one went to the moon.
That was Jared Carmichael.
Oh, God.
All right, question five. I do not recommend seeing any other shows. I do not respect other comedians.
Jack?
Yes, Jack.
Angus Gordon?
You are correct. Yes, point there for Jack.
Oh. I didn't remember writing that, but it felt like something I would write.
I think it also had a list of your ticket sales for the night.
Yeah, it would have been low.
Yeah. No,
no, it would have been very high because I'm very funny and a fan favorite.
Fan favorite. What it was, I think the full tweet, I didn't read the full tweet out or Facebook status. It was like you saying you're noticing lots of other comedians liking these posts but not coming to support the show. So you're like going, you don't see those shows. You don't respect other comedians.
Yeah.
Those were mental health likes. he seems sad. Let's give him a like. You know.
No. I was saying, you know how you see people posting like you should go see this show, like other person's show, and they'll get like lots of likes and they seem like a good person who supports other people, not me.
But also when we do like those things a lot of time, it's just so that to try and stop comedians committing suicide during this period.
Then their audience will flow onto
Of course.
Question six. We once thought Usher discovered Justin Bieber, but it turns out somebody was already living there. Justin Bieber.
Jack?
Yes, Jack.
ATB?
You are correct. Yes, another point there for Jack, yes.
Yeah, Jack was near me when I came up with that idea.
We may have been riffing.
We may have been riffing.
So Angus and Jack arrive together. Mm. You two, what, you write in the same room or something? Or
we just happen to be on a workshop together.
Mm. Ah. We meet up for the occasional riff.
Yeah.
Nice.
Gotta put a few riffs in the calendar.
I like when I get friends on. It's good. Okay, question seven. Here's a riddle. What gets wet when it dries? A towel? Nah. Me, because I fucking love drying.
Jack?
Yes, Jack.
Jackson?
No, that was ATV. He really put you off with saying that Jackson's the only one who tweets dirty. And all the ones I've chosen
for...
That.
Or start believing it now, because I've been wrong twice. Yeah. So.
Do you want to... defend your tweet, or you're happy with
look,
it?
Look, you know what?
It's a good tweet.
Yeah, oh, great. Well, then, you know, look, I had lots of doubts, so I'm glad you liked it.
I chose, out of all your tweets,
yeah,
I chose that one.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, man. Great. Thank you so much.
Question eight. Why does no one want to fuck Mickey Mouse and his friends? Everyone's out here making sexy Sonic OCs, but no one wants to peep at Goofy's dirty cock.
Angus.
Yes, Angus.
Jackson.
You are correct, yes.
Yeah, thank you. I'd love a point.
You got one.
It's baffling. Everybody out there wants to fuck... like all the Looney Tunes characters. All the Looney Tunes characters. Nobody wants to fuck the Disney characters. You ever seen like a sexy Mickey Mouse? Never.
No.
Doesn't exist.
Isn't there like sexy Minnie Mouses though?
No. Which is baffling.
Maybe it's because Mickey and Donald are sexy enough.
They're perfect.
You don't need to change them.
Or it's like they're so obviously sexy that why even say it? It's like no one's
we're all there. We accept it.
No one needs to tweet, oh, I want to have sex with this supermodel. It's just like, yeah, probably. We all want to fuck Mickey.
Goofy's body, maybe controversial opinion, real easy to picture naked though, right? Think about Goofy for a second. Just imagine him nude. I don't know why. For me, that's so easy. Mickey Mouse is hard, but Goofy.
But is that because he's already wearing clothes? Where like, so you can take them off in your mind.
Yeah, I don't know what
Mickey's not really wearing. He just wears shorts, right?
What does Mickey's groin look like? You know, there's no bulge in those red shorts.
What?
Or it's all bulge.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah, he might not have legs. Those are testicles.
Can I quickly just interject? This is my favorite Goofy fact. I think about this quite a lot. I was in some Wikipedia hole about like if Goofy's name was Goofy or if he had an actual name and people just called him Goofy or something. And then there's a lot of conjecture about this online. But if you there's an early episode where early cartoon or something where he has to like sign his name on a form at the bank or something, and the name Goofy puts on the form is James Boyd. You know, Goofy, James Boyd.
Fuck.
Wow.
So Goofy's really James Boyd.
My favorite cartoon character, James Boyd.
Now, does that make you want to fuck him even more?
No. Oh, okay. It's less, if anything. No. It's a very regular name, Goofy.
But he does have the body. He has the body of like an 80s basketball player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you could.
Sort of Rodman passes to Boyd.
You could wrap your legs around that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I want to go back. So people want to fuck Looney Tunes characters.
Well, Looney Tunes characters. Everybody wants to fuck Sonic the Hedgehog for some reason.
Okay.
I can't claim to explain that, but everybody's keen for him, you know.
Because I always find whenever anyone says, hey, if you could have sex with any cartoon character, it's just them wanting to say they want to fuck Jessica Rabbit.
See, Jessica Rabbit is one. That's the Looney Tunes character. But nobody's out here trying to fuck, like, Marvin the Martian or Yosemite Sam.
Betty Boop.
Or the Mario Brothers.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Okay, question 9. Me and Cinderella, but instead of leaving my glass slippers on the stairs, I lose all of my clothes and fall in a bush, exposing my bare ass.
Angus.
Yes, Angus.
The Jackson.
You are correct again. Yes, another point there for Angus. I think you've
cracked.
You've revealed his superpower.
Yeah.
All right, and our last question for the round. I like to schedule tweets, so if I die, people will think ghosts are real and my unfinished business is to tweet some shitty joke about birds.
Alistair.
Yes, Alistair.
Is that Jack Drews?
You are correct. Yes, it is Jack Drews.
Yes!
Birds is a classic Jack Drews word.
Yeah, I think it's what the relationship you have to like fucking cartoon characters and stuff. Sure. I have a similar thing with tweeting about birds and stuff.
You're just far more wholesome.
Yeah.
Whereas you would fuck that whole.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I thought you were going to be like, you'd fuck that bird. Yeah, I guess.
Okay, and then the round, the scores are Jackson, 0 points. Yeah, didn't get a point there.
It's pathetic.
Angus on 2 points. Jack on 3 points, but in the lead on 5 points is ATB, also Trumbly Virtue.
This has never happened before.
Oh, my God.
This has never happened. So I'm wondering whether it still isn't happening.
You can get your points, though, on
Here
this
we
one,
go.
Jackson, because this one is all about Jackson. It's called Road Trip. New round. Same rules. Now, in this round, we're talking about a road trip that Jackson recently took. Now, Jackson here is really into the supernatural. And not too long ago, went on a trip in northeastern Victoria to look for UFOs. But what discovery did he make instead? Was it A, he and his friend kept on surprising a couple who were having sex in their car? Was it B, the local high school leavers were having their after party, so instead of UFO spotting, Jackson and his friend got super drunk with some teenagers? Or was it C, they found a suitcase full of hen's party supplies, including penis drinking straws, penis glasses, an inflatable man, and a bunch of cheap dildos? A, B, or C, you can ask him as many questions as you want.
Hear me up.
But he wants you to get it wrong, so he might be leading you astray. Mm-hmm. Right. The floor is open for questions. Ask away.
Okay, you said you kept surprising a couple having sex in the car. How many times and how much time passed between each surprise?
Well, so we arrived and there was this one section where there was like a dock kind of into the lake, and that's where we wanted to go. But there was the road kind of curved around in like a roundabout sort of area near the dock. And so the first time we came to park there, our headlights illuminated, people just going crazy in a car. And we were like, oh, well, we don't want to interrupt their fucking God bless. So we went and found a car park and we were like, we'll just wait. And we waited for like 40 minutes and then we went back and they were still going at it. And we spooked them again. And then we went back to the car park. And then we did it about 3 times and they never left. And we assume, presumably, we just kept on interrupting them and they had to start all the way back at the beginning and we were just ruining their night. So about 3 times we interrupted them.
I know, that's how sex has always worked for me. Any distraction and I get reset back to zero. And then I have to do at least another 40 minutes.
That's what it's saying.
You go right back to the foreplay or you just go back to
Absolutely. I think we put our clothes back on and then we broach the idea again and go, what do you say tonight, hon? I know it's been a while.
Your new condom.
I just can't imagine anything that's going to make you keep fucking for 3 hours is... Look, we've all done it, but it's impressive as well.
Yeah.
Something was stopping them. They were still going.
And, you know, for it to continue to sort of be a surprise like that, did you sort of mix it up a little bit? Did you change the direction you were coming from?
You
and
did,
sort of,
yeah.
Did you bang like a big Dukes of Hazzard horn? Kind of
I'm surprised they never left. By the third time, surely you'd just go. You'd be like, let's fuck elsewhere.
Yeah,
this is going to keep happening.
Sure they don't want to be seen? Maybe that's why I can't finish until they watch, until the boys stay.
Can't we get any privacy on the car park near the lake?
Yeah.
How could you tell that the dildos were cheap?
I've seen a lot of dildos in my time.
Yeah.
I've worked at Sexpo a couple times. I know dildos.
Okay,
these
sure.
are the kind of dildos that you would get in, like, I don't know if you've ever been to a Sexpo, but occasionally you get like a big, like a gift bag or whatever, and in it they'll have like the bottom of the, like it's like three use or whatever.
They're
it's like, flimsily made.
They're more like costume dildos.
Yeah, exactly.
Than
yeah.
actual, you know, dress dildos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Right, right. So not like a wedding dildo.
No, no. Yeah, yeah. Nothing metal or fancy or in the shape of a scorpion or whatever. Just like
right.
your kind of basic run of the mill dildo.
You're not going to be able
high
to,
end,
like,
right.
You can't pass it on to your children.
No, sort of deal. It's not heirloom dildo territory.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, like basic, pretty. I mean, look, they didn't look, I didn't pick them up, but they
sure.
didn't look, yeah, particularly expensive.
Where did you find the suitcase?
It was kind of in a bush a little bit. And at first, because there was the inflatable guy, the reason we went over to look is we were like, is that a, like, not a dead body, but yeah. maybe a dead body.
Sure.
And then we went over and realized that it was just a lot of hand supplies, which I think is a lot more scary almost than a UFO. Because, like, where did they go? Where's the actual hands party? Who just dumps it in a bush and off into the night?
Yeah, I can't think of a single reason why people would want to get rid of a suitcase full of really embarrassing stuff.
It's just so sneaky. Like, out the door of the car, keep driving. I throw in a bin. But,
yeah.
So we kind of saw the inflatable man, which we realized was, like, again, as cheap as the dildos. Yeah, in a
I think
bush.
Like a very angry bridesmaid when the bride actually said, I don't want any big party, I don't want any dicks or anything like that. And she's like, oh, I've got this whole
the rest of the, yeah, turning around at the back of the car full of fake dildos and inflatable guys.
Drive to the lake.
Yeah. Throw in the sea.
But this hen's night, we look for UFOs. That's it. We've been very clear about this from the start.
And B, no questions about B so far.
Well,
which is
just,
the high
so wait, are you in America in this story? Is
that,
No. Where's the lake?
Where are you driving to?
It's like Northeast Virginia. I forget. It's called like Lake Phillip or something.
Lake Phillip.
And I think in like the 80s, the reason we were going is in the 80s, there was a UFO sighting and we wanted to do something. So I was like, yeah, let's go to the lake. Mm. Look for UFOs.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was B? Was he some high school
kids? Oh, it was just
kids?
Like some kids, I think, that had finished like their exams or whatever. And we just went up and they were like, well, obviously we were kind of like wandering around looking for UFOs and talking. And it was quite late. It was like maybe 2 a.m. at this point. So they were, I guess, intrigued as to what we were doing. They came over, we chatted for a little bit, and then found out they were having like a big lake party, I guess. And so they invited us, got drunk. A couple of people went in the lake, which I didn't do because it didn't seem clean, but yeah, they seemed to enjoy themselves.
Sure, but I mean, like at 2 a.m., and it's hard to tell the cleanliness of a lake.
Well, there's some dildos hanging around.
That's
yeah.
true.
The whole yeah. area was pretty filthy, to be honest. It wasn't a nice lake. Yeah.
Let's see. I mean, that one feels like that's the you know, that's definitely the most just easily doable one. You
yeah.
know?
There's not much you gotta like wrap your head around for a party. Mm.
But then again, are you coming to Josh Earl and saying, this is a story of a thing that happened yeah, to yeah. me? You're going, hey Josh, just want you to let you know that one time I went looking for UFOs and I showed up at a lake and there were some teenagers yeah. around and they'd finished exams. It was actually quite interesting. We had a little chat. I don't know if that is what you're approaching Josh Earl with.
I was talking to Angus before. The only thing, what I wanted to do, and I didn't because you're a nice man who's never wronged me, and I'll continue to see you in my life. But what I really wanted to do was for my stories that were just like, once I ran out of shower gel, but it was fine because I bought some later.
I've worked with worse.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, some people have been on the show so many times that they're like, I've got nothing left, Josh. And so I just go through the Facebook. That's what I would have done. I just would have went through your Facebook.
Yeah.
It's a confronting experience where you're like, what are the stories that have happened to you? And you're like, maybe nothing's ever happened to me. Maybe I've gone through life and experienced nothing.
So, yeah. So I'm thinking that there's definitely like A and C have some allude like some kind of like connection to sex, I think.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Which means something that he would love to make up.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true also.
I
yeah.
love talking about dirty fucking. It's yeah. true.
That's true. And I guess the teenagers is the one thing where it's like there was no creativity put in it. Unless it's like normcore kind of creativity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What oh. could? That is actually the most impressive one to me because he just talked to people and got on with them.
Yeah. yeah.
And they invited him to keep yeah. hanging out with him. It's like, yeah. what is, this is an odd story.
Yeah. One over high
so you
school
wanted,
students?
Yeah.
So you wanted to hang out with young people rather than just look at the stars yeah. by yourself?
What do we reckon? People think they know what it is?
Very sorry, but was it... we're looking for two truths and one false, and we're guessing the false.
Just one truth.
Just one truth. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm. And you don't have to guess together. You can
right.
Individually choose.
Go ahead.
I'd like to. Did you do anything with the Penn's party supplies, or did you just leave it?
They were dildos. I wasn't just going to pick them up and waggle them around or whatever.
So you didn't go back to Sexpo next year and be like, free giveaway.
Guess what? An old wet bag full of dildos.
They're organic.
They're not expensive at all. They're cheap. Yeah.
I'm going to say C, just because I think that you saw the potential dead body and thought there was an episode of a podcast in it.
Okay, so Al thinks C. Angus?
I think A.
You think A. Angus thinks A.
Jeff? I also think C.
You also think C. The correct answer was A, so a point there for well Angus. Done. 2 points for Jackson.
Boom.
So what,
got
so,
a grunt. Got a grunt.
So is that true that you went up to them three different times over the course of 3 hours.
And also, where we went to park, there were two other cars which had people in them. And it was I think it was later than 1 a.m. I think it was 3. So I think it was just a dogging hotspot that we'd found. And there was a whole bunch of people just fucking all around us. And we were innocently trying to find a UFO.
Yeah. Night car parks at night, that's the one place where you can go to get all your sort of criminality done. In the one place that you think that there wouldn't be any cops. But if I was a cop, that's exactly where I would go.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know how you say to you that you think you're startling them, but I guess maybe from their perspective they just think you're trying to build up the courage to join in. They're rooting for you, come on guys, it's
great.
Be
the fourth time round their doors open, an invitation.
You're like a kid trying to climb up to the 10 meter diving board, and then every the last minute climbing back down.
We were waiting for it because there were two other cars where we parked, and we were is someone going to approach and knock on the door and be like, you're welcome to come and fuck us, that's... But alas, no. They left.
I find that rarely happens in life.
Well, I mean...
People invite you in on them having sex.
Yeah. Or any kind of thing that happens in your mind when you're fantasizing. Mm. Where people are like, hey, you want to have $1 million and me perform something really fun on you?
At the end of the round, the scores are Jackson on 2 points, Jack on 3 points, Angus on 3 points. It's still on 5 points. It's ATB. Yes.
You. Oh, wait, so I'm still winning.
Yeah, you're still winning. Oh, you're in charge. Just start failing a couple.
It's
going
to happen. It's going to happen.
You're not a front runner. It's going to come out and you've been cheating on your wife. You're like, that has nothing to do with this podcast.
I feel like that would help me in some way.
That's the next question.
I regret messaging you that.
All right, this round is called Yeah, Nah, Yeah. In this round, each of you are given a fact about another person on the panel. If you think it's true, you say yeah. If you think it's a lie, you say nah. So a point if you get right, a point to the person the fact may or may not be about if you're incorrect. So to Jackson,
okay.
When Angus was in high school, he did his work experience in a real estate agent's. It went for 2 weeks, and after day two, he decided that every day he would steal a teaspoon, hoping he would get caught and then fired because he wanted them to think he was on heroin. Yeah or nah? You can ask him as many questions as you want.
So first question, how long were you there, a week?
Read out the statement again.
How long?
He was there for 2 weeks.
You'll not fucking trap me.
All right. Okay. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. 14 teaspoons.
I wasn't there on the weekends.
Okay. All right. No. Fair. Okay. Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out if the amount of teaspoons. That's a lot of teaspoons. How many teaspoons are in a regular
office job?
Yeah. Is that too many teaspoons? I don't know.
I think teaspoons are what they have the most of, though.
Yeah.
That's true.
Sure, but they're often under 20.
If I was stealing that many bread knives every day, that would have been an easier way to get fired.
Why? Yeah, that seems like such an odd way to try and get... Did you do anything else to try and get across the idea that you were on heroin, or was it just the teaspoons?
I kept shouting heroin out a lot. I was like, heroin! Anyone have any?
Taking these teaspoons specifically for... heroin. Yeah, was it anything else or just the teaspoons?
I was trying to sleep a lot, act really drowsy. I'd wear sunglasses and sort of slump at the desk that they gave me to do filing at.
Did anyone seem suspicious at all? Did anyone know? Was there ever a moment where somebody mentioned the missing teaspoons?
They did mention it, but I don't think they ever connected it to heroin. Because I'm not sure.
Because
I was an idiot. I was 15.
Yeah.
I don't think teaspoons are single use.
No.
Like, I think maybe you can have more than one heroin out of a teaspoon.
I mean, it's great that you didn't go, like, just stealing from your place of work surely is enough to get you fired, but you went the extra mile and made it about heroin. That's good.
Oh, there's a sort of anti-glamour to it, isn't there? Yeah.
what was your strategy for stealing the teaspoon? Like, what?
Do you know
walk
what,
me through it.
It's actually very simple.
I'm excited.
You literally go into the kitchen and then you can open up the drawer at any point. Wait, because that's not the kitchenette. You can go in there. And one of my big responsibilities was making tea.
Okay, so you're there anyway.
Yeah, I'm already doing
you're
it. And
in
then
the, yeah, sure.
I do that fucking little stir. Bad boy's just gone straight in the pocket.
Which
the place
pocket?
That least suspected, right.
Sorry.
Yeah. Right of pants?
Yeah, right of the pants.
Or you, because like I know you wear a lot of like hoodies, mm-hmm. and I was wondering if that front pouch, that kangaroo pouch.
Yeah. Well, that would have been a better way to get fired, would be just come in my hoodie every day and then refuse to take it off. I did wear this hoodie when I was 15 too, so.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Just for the listener, Angus is wearing a hoodie.
Wearing the hoodie, yeah. And I'm a violent criminal, so I'll put it on when I'm about to do some violence later. Beware.
What was the thinking behind taking a teaspoon a day as opposed to... was your idea to get them to think that every day you were doing heroin with that spoon and then... Like,
well, because, you know, like, in retrospect, maybe it was a bad strategy, because if they've got a heroin addict working there, that's quite... cool. You know, they can sell like a party.
That's edgy. That's all
yeah,
right.
edgy. Yeah. These guys have got like a heroin addict working yeah. for them.
Plus,
man, that's sick.
Plus, don't you think like even a heroin addict would be a bit more considerate and like reuse the spoon to not get caught?
Yeah, and
you
maybe
know, so they'd be like, well, this guy's clearly not a heroin addict. He's
just a thief.
Yeah, he's just a dirty
just stealing
teaspoon.
Our teaspoons.
Also, I feel like if I was a heroin addict, that's like. That's a lot of motivation for me to help get sales.
Yeah.
He's a really hard worker.
Money. Yeah.
Like a heroin addict is just like definitely a better employee than just a kid who hates it there. Yeah.
Who's been forced by his school to be there and is not getting paid. Yeah, I just hate real estate agents. And I'd seen the show Skins.
Oh, okay.
And they used to, my high school people would, I don't know, break in seems like a very strong word for jumping a fence, but would do a lot of heroin in the bushes and like leave needles around. So okay. I was like, people hate heroin users.
Sure.
That is, you know, that's what people think. And I thought, if I pretend to be one, I will get out of this.
Yeah.
And
there'll be no weeks at home.
There'll be no repercussions for successfully appearing to be a heroin. It'd be so funny if I went to like rehab and they're like telling me like, you've got to just admit it. That's the first step, is to admit your problem. And I have to, anyway.
What? One last question. What did you do with the teaspoons? So once you had them, where'd you put them? Did you keep them at home, or did you just throw them in a bush or whatever?
Like, I couldn't just put them into my drawer.
Because
my mum would be like, where are all of these teaspoons?
But
I guess it was kind of weird, because it's kind of like a trophy. I don't know, when you're a teenager and you're doing sort of wrong things, instead of just logically just like throwing them in the bin or something, I kind of kept them in like a little box under my bed, where I had other things that I would, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cheap dildos and things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then one day I drove out into northeast Victoria and I dropped that box out into a bush.
What do you think, Jackson?
It is the kind of insane plan that you would come up with at 15. You're a trooper for keeping on going until the last day. Being like, maybe I'll get out of at least this last one. I'm going to go yeah.
You are incorrect. It was all a lie. Point there for Angus.
Fuck.
But it's something I wish I did do. Now I'm telling it at dinner parties,
story. That's your
it's
story.
It's actually
now.
A very big part of my identity.
I'll cut it out of the pod. You tell.
I'm like, you know, I've actually had a hard life. I was a fake heroin addict for 2 weeks.
Still got the spoons.
Did you have work experience at school?
No.
Did you?
Yeah. I was a florist. And then I worked at a costume shop that had recently had a fire. And they made me clean all the ash off all of the clothes with some nasty chemical. And I fainted.
Wow.
They were not a good company.
Was it that 24-hour one on Ligon Street that turned? Everyone's like, that's definitely a drug den. And then it turned out it was a huge drug den.
24-hour costume shop?
Oh, I meant
the
flower shop. Anyway,
did they burn down
their own? I see flowers.
Would these
feel
like this is an arson? Like
I don't know. Yeah, nobody knew actually. Like, from memory, like
the arsonist knew.
Exactly, but they wouldn't tell me why the fire had started. It was very. It was a very strange place to work.
All right, so to Angus now. Alistair, as a child, had beautiful penmanship, and his Year 8 teacher paid him $20 to write out her wedding invitations. He did it, and that's when he realised that not all teachers like each other. because only one other teacher at the school was invited.
I believe very strongly that Alistair has beautiful penmanship, and it's a secret that he would refuse to share with you, though, so this story is a lie. No questions. What was the name of the teacher?
Mrs. Alietta.
Please tell the story like it's real. Do not pause or hesitate in any way.
It was still in Quebec.
So it was in Quebec. So how old were you?
I would have been 13, 14.
How old were you when you moved to Australia?
13, 14. So it was that year. So it was the first half of that year, which means that I would have been 13.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Were you close to the teacher, apart from your beautiful penmanship?
No. She had just overseen me drawing something, and I think she had just assumed that all my drawing was like that, all my writing was like that.
Did you do a good job?
Well, I decided that I was getting into graphic design at the time, and I was by hand, and I was doing the Kellogg's logo.
Yeah.
And I think she just assumed I had beautiful penmanship based on that.
Did you?
Was her name with a K? Is that why you were doing the K? She thought, oh, I like that red K on my.
Why did you say assumed? Didn't you have beautiful penmanship?
My writing wasn't that great outside of that, but it was getting. Because I was mimicking the Kellogg's thing.
Okay, yeah.
And so
sure.
Then that's a beautiful cursive.
Yeah.
And so I was capable of it if I really focused and copied it off something. But when it came to actually doing the thing, the only letters I could really do in that thing was K, E, L, O, and G, and S.
Anything from the Kellogg's logo. Yeah. Were you ever tempted to do that, like that cool S?
You do three lines and join them up. Yeah, like the Stussy S.
I was unbelievably tempted.
But unfortunately, there is an S in Kellogg's.
Yeah.
So from your own code, you cannot.
I couldn't, yeah. And so then if I wanted to do other letters, I often had to sort of base it off of the ones that were in the thing. Like a U would be sort of just essentially two sort of thinner E's next to each other like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you at any point think about like how much power, like, because you're sending out the wedding invitations, like you're writing them out. Like, you can invite anyone now.
Yeah. But really, they just kind of got me to do design and then sort of, you know, what the writing was in. I could have changed who was coming, but...
Yeah, you could have invited, like, the other teachers.
But you don't understand that at that time, $20 was a lot of money, and I needed to not mess this up.
You wanted to do a good job, sure.
Yeah,
okay. So 20 Canadian, too.
Yeah, 20 Canadian.
Is that the same as here? They're pretty much the same exchange rate?
I think it's a little bit more than Australia, but it's a lot less than US.
What were you invited to the wedding after working for it?
You know what? I wasn't.
That sucks.
No, I was. It was. That was the greatest gift she could have given me.
All right. Just let me know. Like, is it true or not?
Yeah, it's true.
But like, if it is true, and you, because if I win this point, I might get in front of you, so that'll be like a lot of relief.
Absolutely.
For you, points wise.
Trust me, I want you to get this.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. And it means a lot to me, to be honest with you.
This story or me getting it?
No. Just truthfulness
truth
is
in
so
general.
Important to me.
Yeah, I find that this is not a good podcast. It spreads lies and false. I know it's
for
fun,
yeah, it's
but...
disgusting. And that's one of the things I've been...
You asked me to be on it the first time. You said, can I be on your
I
podcast?
I did, but only so that I could worm my way in and spread this important message.
Taking it down from the inside.
Yeah, I had to use lies, the thing I hate most, in order to uncover the truth. Yeah.
When a fan favorite turns on a podcast, it's really the beginning of an end.
You said it's true, and I've looked into your eyes.
Yeah.
I think they're deceitful.
Yeah, they are.
But I want to believe you. I want that very much.
Mm.
And if it's not true, what's going to happen to this friendship that we've got.
We
here.
Are pretty good friends. Like,
we get along really well.
Yeah, we do.
And we see each other at least every once every 4 months or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, I'd like to see you more, but you've got a child and you prioritize them. So disappointing.
So you say it's true?
I think it's true, yeah.
You are incorrect. He was lying to you. It's nah. Point there for ATV.
Yes! Oh. Your friendship means nothing to me.
Oh, my God. No.
That's fine.
No. But no, you're still very important to me. It's just...
I've heard this story before. Yes, of course, I was lying to you the whole time, yeah, but we're still friends. You know, we can still be friends.
We're not friends, but you are very important to me. And I want you to... I want my son growing up knowing you.
I will be wandering off into a bush later tonight, and I'll be digging my own fucking shallow grave.
No, that'll be nice.
And you know what they're going to say? Alistair drove him to this.
Yeah. I mean, I'm willing to give you a lift.
Yeah, you can give me a lift physically. And help out, maybe just digging a bit. I'll get tired halfway through.
Okay, so to Al. Now, when Jack was in high school...
Mm-hmm.
He and his friends were inspired by Jackass and decided to try and secretly film something in the Scientology Center. But when they got there, they were surprised by how normal and young the guy was behind the desk, who didn't seem bothered at all by them being in there. Yeah or nah?
Okay, so Jack.
Yeah.
Had you ever seen an episode of Jackass before?
I'd seen a few.
Yeah.
I wasn't like as into it as my friends were. They were like crazy into it, and it was kind of like, you know, when you have friends in school and you like... sort of just, they're your only friends. So it's like, if they like something that you hate, you sort of just have to pretend you like it for years.
Totally.
Yeah,
totally.
It's kind of that sort of thing.
Yeah. Was Jackass going into things and pretending to, like, no, that
was... No, they were just like hurting themselves so much. Yeah. And we like didn't want to do that, but also didn't want to like be cowards either. So it was like, well, we can, this sort of just crosses. We liked like a lot of like politically stuff as well, so we thought like filming, so like we'll get a big scoop and like expose Scientology through the Wollongong branch, which I'm sure is where all the worst shit is going down.
Sure, yeah. So how old were you again?
I was in like year 11.
Year 11.
So it was my last year in high school. So whatever age you are then, like
year 11 was your last year in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I didn't know that about you.
Yeah.
So you left before year 12.
Yeah.
I apologize.
That's right.
And so what did you do right when you left high school?
Well, I did a short film course in Sydney.
Yeah, right.
And then
AEC or
it was called Metro Screen.
Metro Screen. Did you make a film?
I made a few films.
And when did you do your first comedy festival show? Because you were like 17, 18 then, were you?
Yeah. So I did comedy festival in the first one was like 2009 maybe.
Yep.
So it was in a couple years before then, I guess. If the maths work out.
And did you do any festival shows on any of the core tenets of Scientology?
I think Going Clear was based on one of my shows. Yeah. I saw no, I don't know 100%, but I saw some filmmakers in the crowd and I've never talked about Scientology on stage before.
Yeah, right. All right, now let's go to the Scientology building itself.
Yeah.
Was it nice in there?
It was like nice, but not... I think we pictured it was going to be like grand, like a temple sort of thing. It was nice in the way that like a dentist can be nice. Like it's just clearly very clean and laid out well and
yeah, right.
Just like, yeah, just fine.
And were you having a good time when you were in there?
No, because I didn't want to do it as much as everyone else did. They thought this is going to be like game-changing, like weird, you know, sick, underground, cool guys. And I was like, because I live like an hour on the train away from Wollongong. And so the main thing we would do is we'd go to the games workshop and do like Warhammer stuff.
Sure.
And I was mostly in it for the Warhammer. And then this was like this one little kind of side mission. So I was feeling pretty uncomfortable and unhappy in the Scientology building.
I mean, all these emotions I can really picture coming out of you. I'm just going to go ahead and say that it is true.
You are incorrect. It's all a lie. Point there for Jack.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, the God, ice dude. Cold. I'm like a shark.
You are. Yeah. There's nothing there. There's no feelings there.
I peppered it with true details, though. And you also got confused and thought the question was about me leaving school and asked a lot of questions about
that. That was just genuine.
I was just willingly like going like, look, let's take this, make this about Jack finishing his HSC.
Yeah. No,
do you think you'll go back and finish year 12?
When I build up the courage, I'll go back and
You still into Warhammer?
I want to get back into it. I only don't do it because I have moved around a lot. And I don't want to be dragging around a bunch of, you know, Riders of Rohan with me everywhere.
But you still have to, like, carry a bed and stuff like that from house to house. And that seems like a huge burden.
Yeah, I guess, but it's... I'm going to do the Warhammer, all right?
Okay, so to Jack. When Jackson was a child, he told his mum all about a past life that he once lived. Then, many years later, he went to a psychic who, unprompted, told Jackson all about this exact life.
Whoa.
funny that was... Man. Whoa, true.
That's sick. Okay, so what I'd like to know a bit about this past life.
So I was like four, maybe. I was very young. We were crossing this bridge over a lake, and I pointed and I was like, oh, that's the lake where I died in a past life. And my mom was like, what? And so she pulled over the car. She was like, what happened?
You
I was
scared
like,
some people fucking by the lake.
I was like, in my past life, we were very rich, and we had a big house, and I was by the lake with Nanny. Mum was like, was I there? And I was like, no, it was just me and Nanny. But Nanny wasn't paying attention. She was reading magazines, and I fell in the lake, and there were things and things and things. Then I died. Then Daddy found me, picked me up, and was angry at Mummy, and then they broke up or whatever, and I think that's all I told her.
I feel... Okay, so you said at one point there were things and things
well,
and things.
Well, because here's the thing.
I noticed that. Yeah.
Then I go to the psychic, and the psychic describes me being very wealthy, living in a kind of big mansion somewhere in... not... I think it was somewhere like South America or something like that. Hmm. I forget where. And I was being looked after by a nanny. I fell in the water in the lake and I got tangled in vines, and that's why I couldn't get up, which presumably were the things and things and things that I was describing as a child.
Okay, so things and things and things was how a child speaks.
Yeah. Because okay. I was four. That's why I said mummy and daddy. Awesome to assume that that's still how I refer to my parents. But no, I was being four-year-old Jackson.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah.
And so when you... Where the lake that you said, that's the lake I died in, the lake you died in was, in fact, in South America.
Well,
so
yeah,
a similar
I think
lake.
Child Jackson was still a child and was like, that's kind of like the lake I died in, but I just assumed as a baby that's the one where I had died in. I don't know. I was still four. I was remembering my past life, but still dumb as shit, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And so you also... You said that, like, your parents were angry because...
Well, I think the idea was that my mom, because she'd been in the mansion... not looking after me, and like my dad, past life dad, was angry that mom wasn't looking after past life May. They were furious at each other, which somehow I knew after I died.
That's what I was getting at. That
I don't
like
know.
A...
That's baby Jackson. I can't explain his beliefs.
If this is true and you are looking for a cold case podcast in the future, your own past life child death would be, I would listen to that. That's 100%.
Not a bad idea to look into.
May I interject for one moment?
Yeah,
Jackson, did you do year 12?
Yes, yes, I did do year 12.
Okay, great.
I got a terrible ANTA score though. Oh, atrocious.
Did you do year 11?
Skipped year 11. Yeah. Straight to year 12. No, I did year 11 as well.
No further questions. Thanks.
Thank you.
I guess the one thing that still sits in, like, you saw a psychic. What was I don't know you very well, but
that wasn't like. I'm not in the habit of seeing psychics, but my mom is. My mom very much believes in all that, so I was out with her and we kind of did it together because she was like, I want to go visit the psychic. Hmm. She was also, because I told her that story as a kid, always scared when I was growing up that I was going to die. That was something she was just terrified of, because, which to me is crazy, because just because past life Jackson dies doesn't mean present life Jackson will. But
and most moms don't care if the kid dies.
Most moms are like, easy come, easy go.
Yeah.
But she was always like, oh man, he's going to die or whatever. So she visited the psychic, I think under the idea like, oh, I'll go see a psychic and I'll find out. She wanted to ask about the past life thing. I was like, whatever. So I did it with her.
I have one final question.
Please.
What did the psychic tell your mom?
The same thing, that story. That I wouldn't die. The psychic also said that the reason my mom, my dad, and me were in this life is because we had unresolved business in our past life. But that's funny because I have a brother, but he's just not included.
Yeah,
in that.
He's new addition like an to the outlier, game,
I guess. Yeah.
So, how old were you when you went to the psychic?
I would have been quite young still, like not 4 or 5, but maybe like 12, something like that.
Okay. Right. Yeah. I'm gonna go nah.
You're gonna go nah?
I'm gonna go
it
nah.
Was yeah. Ah, true man. Story
that's
there
right.
From Jackson.
No, my past life.
How fucking boom. Stone cold would you have been if you're just asking him questions yeah. about something that you wrote?
And how old were you when you...
I do that sometimes. Yeah. I sometimes help out people with their lies. But I want to know, like, because I always think go to psychics to know about the future.
Yeah, it was very weird to go and learn about the past, but, you know, yeah. Crazy yeah. stuff. I've actually never been back to the lake. I should go to see if... Man, lakes.
Yeah.
I know what it was a river. Never mind.
All right, at the end of that round,
it was a river. I'm not accepting this result. That was absolutely a lie, and I was correct in identifying that.
And then the round, scores are Jackson on 3 points, Angus on 4 points, Jack on 4 points, in the lead still on 6 points, it's Alistair Trombley Birchall.
Hello.
Hey guys, just stopping the podcast there while they do a little bonus bit. Also, to remind you one more time, and I'll do this a lot because guess what? I need to sell some tickets to Josh Earl Talks. This is my brand new comedy festival show. If you're in Melbourne, I'm doing a trial of it. If you listen to this the week it comes out, I'm doing a trial of it for $10 at the Imperial Hotel Tuesday the 19th. That is just a trial though. Won't be the full show. It'll be 45 minutes of the show. It'll still be as best as I can do it. The Imperial at 7 o'clock, along with Hunter Smith, who's the head writer of the project, and also Jess McGuire, who's been on the show a few times. She's doing her first ever stand-up spot. So come and see that. That'd be fun. So that is happening Tuesday the 19th of Feb at the Imperial in the city, top of Bourke Street there. So... But what I'm trialing is Josh Earl Talks. So Josh Earl Talks is my brand new show. So I took a year off last year. The year before that, I did a show with Daniel Tobias, which was just music and sketches. So this is the first proper stand-up show I've done since 2016. Wow. And I'm loving doing it. I'm loving trialing it in places. So some of you may have seen some bits, but there are a chunk of it which I haven't done anywhere. So if you're interested in coming to see it, and I would love it if you did, tickets are at the Comedy Festival website, comedyfestival.com.au, or I've got a link straight to my page at joshearl.com.au/gigs, joshearl.com.au/gigs. I would love it if people who listen to the podcast every week come down and, allow me to do a show for you. Anyway, back to these guys who are being very, very funny. All right, this is our final round. Still anyone's game. This round is called Who. In this round, I'll read out 10 questions about you guys. If you think you know who it is, buzz in. You get a point if you get it right, a point off if you get it wrong. Only round you can lose points. Your names are your buzzers. Can't buzz in for ones about yourself. Here we go. Question one, who here was nearly killed in New Zealand by gang members?
Jack?
Yes, Jack.
Angus Gordon.
You are correct. Yes, point there for Jack.
Yep.
How come they nearly killed you?
It wasn't in New Zealand.
Ah.
That's not what I sent you.
You said New Zealand gang members.
Yeah. Well, they claim to be. They claim to be New Zealand gang members. I was dressed as a lifeguard. So I'm obviously a red rag to a bull. They were Crips.
Sure. Yeah.
And they saw that little red.
Lifeguards and Crips go way back.
Do you know what I mean? I was filming a thing and they were like harassing us for ages, like calling us bitches and pussies and giving us like the finger, like this one.
As you're doing, yeah.
I'm only telling this story to do this. But yeah, and then they walked past like, what are you looking at? Because I was looking at them because of the commotion they were causing.
Fair.
And then I said, you, because you're trying to intimidate us. And that actually was enough to, they picked me up and like were grabbing me by the shirt.
Oh,
and like,
man.
We were on a cliff as well. And they were like, I'm going to fucking push you off this cliff. And started pushing me backwards off the edge of the cliff. And it was a big standoff when I was pushing back and like the crew was like trying to help me and not get me murdered. And eventually like it calmed down. Because we threatened to call the police, and you know, they left, and then there wasn't a race riot because this lifesaver.
Were they near the ocean because it's blue and they just went,
that's their territory. Yeah. 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 Blue. I should have known that when I was wearing red near the ocean. But there was one of their friends was with them and he was sort of standing, not like helping out with the assault on me.
Yeah.
And one of the crew was talking to him and he was like, can you stop these guys? And he was like, no. Yeah. They have drunk like a bottle of whiskey. It was like 11 in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh, they've drunk a bottle of whiskey and they love fighting. So this is going to happen.
Is this why now you learn mixed martial arts?
This I already had started, but that's probably what made me think I can look at them now.
Yeah.
Before I thought I could fight, I would have just avoided the situation. But then when I was like, I can look at whatever I want now.
I have heard the story from someone else who was there who paints Angus as much more of an agitator than he just did.
That is not... an agitator, I'm standing up for all of us. Yeah. It's our beach. We're protecting lifeguards.
Oh my God.
Just one last thing on the Crips. I do find blue is such a soft colour for a gang.
Yeah, I always love that. So yeah.
Like red, yeah, red's kind of hot, fiery.
Once
go
the
black.
Crips listen to this, they're going to fucking get you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah, Crips have people who listen to every podcast to see.
Anyone saying shit about us today?
Question two. Whose best friend in primary school once wrote a letter to a kid in prep to tell him Santa wasn't real?
Alistair.
Yes, Alistair.
Jackson.
Yes, you are correct.
Oh,
what there for
great
Al.
Guess.
Yeah. He actually told him that Santa was dead, which is even... It was a buddy. Do you ever have buddies?
Yeah,
when you're in year six, you have a prep kid
as your buddy. And yeah, he had a buddy, just him, and it was Christmas and everyone was sending their buddies letters and his was just like, Merry Christmas, Santa has died. And that's what the kid got.
Oh, that's not as bad as saying Santa's not real.
I think it's worse.
It's way worse.
No.
Because that kid's mourning.
Because you can just go home to mum and they say, oh, he said Santa's dead. And Santa's not dead. Trust me, you'll get presents.
This guy's like the Nietzsche of Christmas.
Bold move.
Okay, question three. Who here used to like hanging out with kids who shoplifted because he could benefit from crimes without doing any of the stealing?
Angus.
Yes, Angus.
ATB.
You are correct, yes.
He's got the look of a hanger-on.
Yeah.
I absolutely am. I'm no agitator, that's for sure. I don't go in there and try to start a fight with the shopkeep.
They kept you around for your beautiful penmanship to write the ransom notes.
Absolutely.
Okay, next question. Who last year passed out at exactly the same time as their father?
Angus.
Yes, Angus.
Jack.
Yes, you're correct. Yes, another point there for Angus.
I thought you said passed
away. I was strangling
them.
I was confused, yeah.
You passed out at the same time as your dad.
Yeah, well, me and my dad did like a big hike together last year and getting laughs already. The very idea of
I think
that.
I'm just picturing a double faint.
It was wild, yeah, because we went to, we got to like, we were just walking in the hot all day and we kind of thought we were getting to this town way sooner than we were, so we only brought like a little bit of water and we're like, I'll be fine. And then it sort of was fine, like we were pretty dehydrated and stuff, but we got to the town, I'm like, well, we're here anyway, and there's like a cafe you can sit in and it was just like the hottest place. It was just like rush hour there, and so they just didn't serve us. Like they sat us down in this like really hot place, but they just didn't serve us, and we were like waiting for a while. And I've like only passed out a few times, but I got that like weird like pins and needles in my whole body kind of thing, and I just felt it coming, and I just was like, Dad, I don't know, I'm gonna pass out. And he was like, oh my God, where are you? And I'm like, yeah, I'm passing out. And then the next thing I like woke up on the floor and I was like clearly had passed out and there were people all around me and stuff. And then they're like giving me water and stuff, and then my dad like was like trying to talk to me like, how are you feeling? And then there's a brief pause and he's like, I'm also gonna pass out. I was like, oh, okay. And then he just did pass out, and then I was like, I'm in so unequipped to help here. And yeah, and it was the person who owned the cafe kept having to explain that we hadn't eaten anything yet, because that was like two people passing out at the same time at the same table. It's like, they're not, this isn't a food poisoning thing. Admittedly, they probably wouldn't have passed out if I just brought them some water like you meant to, but
Are you doing that as a ploy now to get service immediately?
Yeah, just passing out right at the door.
Okay, next question. Who at 6 years old was slammed into a fence by a wild pig called Boy?
Jack?
Yes, Jack.
Angus?
No, it was Jackson there. Point off, Jack.
That pig got killed eventually. People shot it in the head. It worked. Yeah.
Are you covered in pig food like luring an animal?
It was a pig in... I used to live in the Northern Territory for about 2 years in a little indigenous community called Mbladawich, and they had this pig that belonged to no one but himself, and he roamed the community and destroyed bins. And I was very young, and I saw the pig, and I was like, can I pat it? And my mom was like, go ahead. And he just slammed me into a big wall.
And she was worried about you dying.
I know. Yeah. It's like, Pat, touch the pig.
You can't drown in a pig.
But eventually that pig became such a problem that they shot it in the head.
Right.
Next question. Who here owns a clarinet?
Angus. I want
to
say Alistair Tremblay-Birch.
No, it's Jack Drewsters.
Oh, no. Did I give you that information?
No, I found it on Facebook you keep moving house.
But I lie a lot on the internet.
Oh, do you really?
You to know that I have access to a clarinet at my house, but it doesn't belong to me.
That's who incredible. Does it belong to?
It's Indiana's. And we keep really strict possession of our things.
Okay. Whose is the child? Who's your baby belong to?
Well, we gave it her last name.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty clear.
Yeah. Okay, who made it onto a competitive karate team until they asked them to spar with a girl that was too tough for them and they cried?
Jackson.
I heard Jackson first.
Angus?
No, it was ATB. Point off Jackson there.
It was the guy kicking your asses. Fucking hell. Look, I was really good friends with a guy who was a very good competitive karate player. And karate guy.
Karate player.
Karate player. I mean, I'd only just really felt like I'd just learned the chop. Mm. And but I was doing karate with this thing. And then at some point they were like, you know, they approached me and they went, would you like to join the competitive team of this, you know, dojo? And I went, oh my God, I've never thought of anything greater. And then I had to go to this extra special training. And then at one point they asked me to fight this girl who was... So, I mean, she's probably only 2 years older than me, but she was very good at karate. And I don't think I could do that. Like, at first I was just, you know, that was just kind of natural. And they're like, why? And then as I had to try to start having to explain it, I went, just because, excuse me. you know, in front of all the professional karate people. And then they didn't ask me back.
Question 8. Who goes to sleep every night imagining a surgeon removing their brain and throwing it into a bin?
Alistair.
Yes, Alistair.
Is it Jackson?
No, it's Angus. Oh. Angus does that.
You imagine that every night?
Yeah. You're never more asleep than when your brain is in a surgical waste bin.
I don't know if that's true.
Do you sleep well?
I sleep very well. I've imagined that.
Yeah.
Do you mean just because you're so dead and there's no ceremony about it? He very carefully gets the scalpel and goes all the way around my skull.
Yeah.
Then I don't think this is true, but he like sort of screws, just like a little bit of a, there's like a pop, and the skull comes out.
Bit of finesse.
Yeah, a little like that. Like it's a seasoned hand. And then scoops in around the brain with this, like I'm removing. And then I also like to imagine, I didn't mention to you, like he takes out the whole spinal column in one thing, like it's a shrimp.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then that goes into, then there's a slop. It's very undignified when it goes into the waste.
Yeah.
But then once I feel like I'm just dead waste, of course I have to go to sleep. I can't stay up worrying anymore.
Sure.
Because I'm just going to be incinerated.
Mm. May I ask, when he takes the brain actually out of the sort of the dish of the skull, does it go...
There isn't like a... But there is a little bit of a moist sound.
Mm.
But it's not quite... You sound like a seal being unbroken.
Well, yeah, because that would be like, you know, it'd fit nice and like tight.
That's already sort of... The pressure's already come off when the skull itself is removed.
Yeah, right. So I still just think, you know...
There'd be like a...
Because there's a lot of fluid in there. Yeah. It's a lot of... You know, it's probably got a little air bubble underneath. It's just kind of...
Just waiting to pop up.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's going to be incorporated into the new routine.
Yeah, don't...
Yeah. Yeah.
This is his routine.
Because is it overarm or underarm? Is it like a... Or is it like a...
It's underarm. Yeah, it's not basketball. He doesn't like 3 points. Because you remember there's also the spinal column.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Swing it around. Whoa, like a discus.
When I was doing my theatre degree, every morning we'd do what they called skills class. Or it was like a warm-up thing. And they'd quite often get us all lying on the floor and tensing every part, every muscle, or our feet first, then release. Our legs, then release. And go all the way through. And it sounds like a similar thing. It sounds like you're just removing the tension.
Yeah.
And then you can... relax into you. It's good.
If I was a different kind of comedian, I'd be like, oh, I used to do acting and every day they had skills classes in the morning. You know, we'd learn how to be a barista for an hour.
Anyway.
Sounds like that's exactly the comedian you are.
I am, but I
don't hide behind this irony. If I was this, you thought it.
I'm a very thin veil of irony. It's very important to me, or else I will get a surgeon to remove my brain.
At nighttime, I have this trick where to go to sleep, I just close my eyes and then I just wait for a bit, and then it just happens anyway.
Stop showing off, you fucking cunt.
Yeah, I was in the lead earlier.
I do this thing where we take melatonin. It's really good.
Well, I've never heard even know.
I do this thing at the moment where like I lie there for like hours and get really like stressed and upset that I'm not asleep yet, and then the next day I feel horrible. Been doing it for a while. It was pretty good.
You've made me realize that sometimes when I'm going to sleep, I imagine it's similar. It's not all the time, but it's a occasional thing. I imagine like a tank riding over my skull. And it's the same, like there's the pressure and then my skull kind of cracks open and my brain does come out. It's kind of similar.
It's the same.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Same kind of idea. It's not all the time.
Do you want to do a podcast where we investigate how many people go to sleep imagining their brain being removed?
It's a satisfying idea.
Next question. Who once had a teacher, instead of letting them prepare for exams, made them all do calisthenics?
Alistair.
Yes, Alistair.
Jackson?
You are correct. Yes, it was Jackson.
Yeah, she was a sub, and we all, it was a like a theater class, and we had exams. We had to all practice our solos or whatever, and she's like, no. And for 2 hours, we did calisthenics instead. She said like her authority on why we should do that instead of exams is that she was in community theater, and that's what they did there. We all hated her.
And our final question for the game, who here only follows one thing on Facebook?
Angus.
Oh. Yes, Angus.
Jack.
You are correct. Yes, a point there for Angus. Yes, what's that thing?
It's a fan page for the band The Mountain Goats. There's a lot of Mountain Goats memes. I was I wanted to just unfollow everything on Facebook, and I got to that one, and I realized it makes me laugh quite a lot. It'd be good to... But now every time I like there's a new person who adds me as a friend or whatever, or there's an ad or something, I'm so used to the Mountain Goats being my whole thing that like it'll just be like I'm now just there'll be an ad for something. It'll be like it's KFC, and I'm like, what Mountain Goats song is this? I don't get the meme. It was
because you're in MMA fighting. You like UFC stuff.
Yeah.
Do you like wrestling as well?
No.
So you didn't like his wrestling album?
No, I like Mountain Goats albums about wrestling.
Yeah.
Just not wrestling itself. Okay. I'm looking forward to enjoying their Dungeons & Dragons album that's coming out soon. I also know nothing about Dungeons & Dragons.
Great. There's a dice. That's all I know. Yeah. Okay, at the end of the game, the scores are Jackson Bailey on 2 points. Jack Drews on 4 points. But it came right down to the wire. Mm-hmm. Angus Gordon on 6 points. But our winner on 7 points is Alistair Trombley Virtual.
Oh, my God.
Congratulations.
This is a real turning point for my life. I'm not a winner.
This all came because of the lie you told Angus. Mm-hmm. If he got that one right, the scores would have been reversed.
Hey, thank you so much for trusting me.
Yeah, this is a real sliding doors moment for me.
Yeah.
Now I'm a real cynical operator, and I look at the news differently, and I think, this is fake. What else is the Liberal media lying to me about? If its member Alistair Tremblay-Birchall could lie about his calligraphy skills, maybe Hillary could be lying as well. So, I don't know what you've brought upon the world, but it hasn't been a positive change.
You're going to be like a bitter, old, cynical man, like looking back on your life. Things would have been different if I won that podcast.
If I hadn't been on that filthy lying podcast.
Because you win out, you get to plug whatever you want to plug. You've got podcasts.
Well, I got my new podcast, my guided meditation podcast that I just released called Shusher Guided Meditations. And it's a, we'll call it a comedy guided meditation podcast because that's what it is. And please go and check that out. I love downloads, and it's genuinely relaxing. I know you shouldn't get high off your own stash, but I tried it myself and it calmed me down one time. And then you can also... you can also listen to Two in the Think Tank, which is my other podcast, and that's me and Andy coming up with sketch ideas, and it's pretty good.
Are you doing any shows in the Comedy Festival coming
up? We are doing a show at Comedy Festival called Magma, and it's a fake engineering presentation, and it's going to be a bit crazier than it sounds.
Cool. Angus, where can people find you?
I've got a podcast coming out soon. It'll be coming out this month. It's called George Orwell's Content Farm. It's where me and the comedian Rohan Ganju come up with content idea for the internet to become famous. Great. So that I don't have to do these kind of podcasts anymore. Also, I'm putting on a gig at the Albert Park Deli on Sunday, the 24th of February. Please come down. We have great comedians. Jack Drews has done it in the past, and he didn't enjoy himself. That's on him.
That was my fault, though. I didn't put my all into it, and we've all had that experience with gigs, and I could imagine it going really well in a different context.
Thank you, Jack, for your honesty. Yeah.
Jackson, where can people find you?
Just head to sandspansradio.com. I'm in just way too many podcasts, but they're all listed there. If you like anything, I'm sure we'll do a podcast on it, and if we're not doing one now, we'll do one eventually. Because it seems like we just frankly can't stop.
And you're doing a live show in the Melbourne Comedy Festival?
Yes, at this Comedy Festival I'm doing what I've been describing as a hideous game show called Big Deal, with the intent of upsetting the audience. And the fact that we're not allowed liquids has hampered it unimaginably. It's incredible how hard it is to make something unpleasant when there's no liquid involved. But we've managed.
Have you watched my comedy? It's very easy.
And Jeff Drews?
What should I plug? I'm not doing a show at the Comedy Festival this year. I'm taking a year off. But the best thing for me to plug is I do a newsletter, which is like, I guess it's just like a blog, but it gets emailed to you instead. And it's kind of like, it's a lot of comedy stuff, but also I just try and do good writing and write about stuff that's interesting. And people seem to like it a lot. So that would be my plug. The link to it is on my Twitter.
And you also have a stand-up album online as well?
Will be quite soon, okay. Actually. Yeah, I'll go up soon.
Sweet. Also, if you're listening to this in Brisbane, I'm coming up March 16 to do a show at Haya Bar, so with Becky Lucas, Mel Buttle, Cam James, and Guy Montgomery. So go to joshearl.com.au/gigs. Also, all the Comedy Festival stuff, which you've already heard about in the show. Hey, thanks for playing.
Thanks so much, man.
Cheers, bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.